Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Harrow-Kane Hour. I'm Sherry Kane. Dr. Leonard Horowitz will be joining us shortly. We come to you every day, Monday through Friday at 12 noon in Hawaii, where we are, 3 p.m. Pacific time and 6 p.m. on the East Coast. I want to thank our sponsor, HealthyWorldAffiliates.com/4948 for your amazing products. If you are not affiliate, please sign up today. Also, I want to thank HealthyWorldStore.com. You have not been to the store. We have an awesome 528 section as well as awesome health products. And also, Dr. Horowitz's books and DVDs can also be bought on that store. If you are a musician, we recommend that you go to 528radio.com. You can upload your original tracks to the site. It will automatically be transposed into the 528 frequency of love, and then it will be sent back to you in an MP3 music file. And then it will be part of our music library, and you will be eligible for 60% royalties from that. So if you are a musician, we encourage you to do that. It will turn your music into medicinal healing music. We also have 528radio.com. 528radio.com is an awesome way to listen to 24-hour music that's been transposed into the 528 frequency of love and healing. And I want to thank everybody again for joining the show today. We have a special guest that I'm going to bring on. His name is J.D. Messenger. He's a former CEO of E&Y Singapore and nuclear submarine officer who had a near-death experience, and he returned a different man. He believes that we are all filled with faulty and outdated beliefs that are perpetrating the illusion of separation that is tearing us apart and poisoning our mind, body, and environment. And I want to welcome him to the show. We're going to talk about his new book. The book is called 11 Days in May. It's about 36 parables that answer the big questions such as, who am I? Why am I here? What is a thought? What are intentions? Welcome to the program, JD.
Hi, Sherry. Thank you so much. It's great to be here. I wish I was actually with you there, the Big Island.
Where are you, actually? You're in New York, right?
Well, I live in Texas, but I'm in New York for some events at the moment. Yes.
Okay. Perfect. Well, Texas is pretty warm. It's nice there. It's not Hawaii, though, I know.
Yeah, we don't have the beautiful blue water.
No, I know.
Or mountains. No volcanoes either, though.
But you're always welcome to visit us. On the Big Island, we have a place for you. So anytime you want to come and visit us, just let us know.
That'd be wonderful. Thank you.
So I'm very interested in how this life-changing experience created this book that you wrote, and how before you actually were who you are today, you were somebody working in corporate America, working with the people that we usually expose, and now it's like you woke up and you see that there's something else out there. And a lot of people, I believe, would be so interested in hearing your story. I would like to hear more about it. Can you tell everybody how you came to write this book and how you woke up to this amazing experience?
Yeah, of course, thanks. Let me give a brief background before I directly answer that, because I think it's relevant to understand, you know, where I came from.
Of course.
And so I went to the Naval Academy. I was a nuclear engineer and submarine officer and a mathematics major. Served on three different submarines during the Cold War. You know, my life mission was to chase Russian submarines and try to shoot out of the water before they launched their nuclear missiles. Quite interestingly and wonderfully, I'm working with a man, Mikhail Stanislavski, to promote ascension in some events in Miami. We can talk about that later. But I found out that he was a Russian submariner trying to kill me when I was an American submariner trying to kill him. And now here we both are promoting peace, ascension, and unity. So
and
let
love.
Me do a shout-out. Hello, Michael. And absolutely. You know, that's I've come quite a full circle or 180 degrees, I'm not sure which. But
wow.
I left the Navy. I loved the Navy, but one night I was walking around the ballistic missile, and on the submarine, this submarine I was on had 16 Polaris missiles with 10 warheads and more destructive power than all the bombs dropped in World War II, I've heard. And I just said, I like almost got sick to my stomach. I mean, it was like the realization that if I ever had to launch these missiles, everyone and everything I knew would be dead. And, some people say, well, what took you so long? But that's a different story. But I just said, I can't do it. And I left Navy after 11 years, joined Exxon Corporation, which, a lot of people call the evil empire, but I actually think a lot of wonderful people there. And it's a great organization. Interestingly, I did that corporation because it was the only company out of a lot of large multinationals that I interviewed where ethics and integrity and what I would call leadership and values and virtues were a job requirement. You had to sign an annual statement, and you didn't take any benefits or get any special favors or things like that. And that's a whole other story. But I think a lot of people give Exxon a black eye, and I think they're good people. But that's different. People are different. I will say, I know I'm interrupted in the work to put in a few points here. I am not an advocate of fossil fuels. I do think that we're destroying our environment. And based on all the knowledge I have as an energy expert, I think we absolutely have to be promoting alternative energies and hydrogen fuel. And, we can't get there, though, with just wind and solar. But so, again, we can follow up on those things. I was unfortunate enough to have been involved in when the Valdez oil spill happened. I actually never told anyone this story until the book came out, but I had a dream or a vision, premonition of the oil spill, the ship crashing, and 4 days later it did. I didn't know what it was at the time, and I felt so guilty I volunteered to go supervise the cleanup. So I supervised the cleanup and saw, what I would consider one of the, terrible things that humanity due to the environment, and it was sad. But I left Exxon, became an Ernst & Young partner, and I was a global energy expert around the world, putting in power systems in China and doing merger integrations and the first sourcing systems and programs and the first global information systems, which, flattened the world, did everything for one. And I became the CEO in Asia, and so I was advising the prime ministers and royal families and so forth. And that's when a terrible incident happened to me. I broke my neck. It was a result of a deteriorating neck from a submarine injury. And I put my arms up in a stretch one morning, and that was the last thing that was holding my neck together. And it felt like 10,000 volts going through me, or someone splitting me in half with an axe. And I left my body, and I all of a sudden was, 10 feet across the room watching what was left of my physical being collapse and fall like a rag doll. And the short story is that I spent many years then recovering, and I started to have a lot of what people would call metaphysical experiences, which interestingly, I've met many people who have injured their neck. And for some reason, there's something that goes on when we do these things to our neck. And I, at the time, was in Asia, so I took sort of a total Eastern approach. I did yoga and massage and Reiki and acupuncture and herbal teas and medicines. And 4 years later, what was solid bone in three vertebrae, because it had been fused together with bone from my hip, one of my vertebrae had returned. And between that and more visions and more, automatic writing and you know, I became fluent in Mandarin in 60 hours. People say, oh, you're smart. I said, no, smart has nothing to do with it. You know, our knowledge does not reside in our head. There's no hard drive there. We knowledge and information is all around us. It's a part of the global consciousness, the field of energy, you know, and I came to believe and understand and accept that I am energy, which is photons, which is light. And I'm a light being, and I'm a soul and a body, and so are you, and so is everyone listening. So that's, you know, that's short backstory. You know, right now I'm only up to about 2005, and 11 days may happen 5 months ago. But I'll take a pause and let you ask some questions.
Yeah. Well, I think that's amazing, that journey that you took to get to where you are. I also want to bring in Dr. Horowitz, because he just actually came in.
Well, hi, JD. Wonderful to have you.
Hi, Dr. Len Horowitz. How are you?
I'm very, very blessed. Thank you. It's a good thing that we had that lengthy conversation yesterday. I got held up in the worst traffic that you can't imagine right now.
Well, JD just got through telling his amazing story about how, you know, he was working with the submarines and he broke his neck, and then, you know, he had this afterlife experience, and it's like, and he actually healed himself with natural remedies.
Beautiful. That's great. That's what we completely endorse. You know, our position is that the entire medical industry is a gross fraud. If it wasn't for the fact that you've got gifted surgeons who can put you together when you're having traumatic injuries or accidents, gee whiz, you know, I would say that we got to start from scratch and go back to Hippocrates and start where we look at how nature and animals begin to heal themselves by eating grass.
Well, I'm sure you probably talk about these things all the time in your program, and you have all the knowledge and the research, and you have all the books and things. But, you know, I was, you know, call it on the I call it the world of form. And to me, we're talking about the world of light. We're talking about energy, love, and all that means. But I was stuck in what I call an 11-day bay, the world of form. I was stuck in believing that who I am was what I did, my job, that money made me happy, that retirement, that the purpose and meaning of life was to make more money and get to train station 401k and retire. And I, you know, died, and I went through the tunnel. It was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. We can talk about that. You know, when I came back, I just, you know, besides my physical, I mean, I had to learn how to walk and talk and chew gum all over again. All I could do was stare at the ceiling. You know, I had no feeling in my face. My arms were numb. My back, I couldn't walk. I had a hard time talking. And all I could do was stare at the ceiling, and I, for a long time, I noticed there's, you know, every crack and swell in the plaster, and I just realized I wasn't happy, and I didn't know why I wasn't happy. I thought I did everything I was supposed to do, and you know, so this was the beginning of what I call my wake-up call. It was a wake-up, I believe it was divinely inspired, and I believe that I broke my neck intentionally, subconsciously. Because a part of me, a higher part of me, a bigger part of me knew that I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing.
Yep. I'm interested in hearing about tunnel journey. Tell us about that.
The journey, well, you know, when these strange things started happening to me, they didn't cue to my left brain nuclear engineer mathematical mindset. I like to say I had so much metallurgy, reactor kinetic physics, underwater acoustics, weapon systems, thermodynamics, you name it, that I left brain stuff that I walk with a poor list until my neck broke and I got straightened out. And so, you know, I had never seen a tarot card reader or had a palm reading or knew what Reiki was or anything. But because I was surrounded by all these people who, you know, this, you might get a kick out of this one, you know, the medical doctors in the medical facilities in were fantastic facilities, but they wouldn't give you a pill for more than 3 days. They will not give you antibiotics if you need antibiotics for more than 3 days, because they say you do not need it. And they don't want to give you anti-inflammation pills, because a pill, and I I get a little passionate about, because, you know, pills are replications of that was in nature, and they want to give you natural source. So they give you the teas and the herbs and all those things, which you know far better than I. You know, they're more, they take longer, it's lower, it doesn't give that instant feel good or whatever, but, you know, they flush all this stuff out of my system. And plus, I'm eating fresh fruit off the trees every day. And, you know, that fresh food and the other things flushed out of you, if I would say to anybody who doesn't believe me, if you could, you know, purify your system of the drugs or medications and drink good water and eat fresh food and vegetables and salad, in less than 10 days, you're going to start to see different things. You're going to feel different things. You're going to be healthier and energized, and you're going to start to experience the stuff that I experience, which is what I believe is our natural state. It's our natural condition.
Yeah, I believe that it's the Holy Spirit that does all the healing. Spirit is energy. Energy is frequency. It's basically mathematics and the Creator's technology for creation and restoration. Sustenance is basically the music of the spheres. It's the music of God's heart, pure love, in 528. We've been advancing with the 528 love revolution in both the music industry and simultaneously the medical industry, healthcare. Because again, miracles can be made to happen. I know you're an advocate of that. We feel that the heart is a has the intention, heartfelt, loving intention in faithful prayer brings about a powerful impact on the entire spirit, which again does the healing. The chemistry is secondary to the fundamental frequency, as you know, of sound and light signaling, the electrogenetics, the cellular upregulation, it's called in the genetic field, where the sound and light signaling literally manifests and remanifests every nano instant, every cell, tissue, body, organ, or an organ system throughout the body. So we're firm believers in what you're talking about, JD.
You know, and JD, I really like...
Well, I want to...
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to...
Go ahead. Go, you know, you go ahead, Sherry.
I was actually wanted to talk about that symbol on the cover, the symbol on the cover, and if you could tell everybody what that means.
Well, it's a symbol, actually 22 or more, I stopped counting after 22, sort of messages and symbols on the cover. I drew and sketched the whole thing in an hour. It has literally taken me 3 months to decipher all of them. I didn't know what they all were. There's tremendous mathematical symbols. There's a big cross, and that this red cross is the Maltese cross. I'm a knight in the order of St. John's Knights Hospitaller. And the cross, of course, represents the four points, represent the four cardinal virtues, fortitude, prudence, temperance, and justice. And underneath the cross, halfway on one of the arms of the cross, is a mathematical formula, and it's halfway on, halfway off, which is symbolic of there's a science called religion and a religion called science, and they're two sides of the same coin. I believe that God's the greatest scientist. And the calculations underneath is a formula. It's a probability equation, because when I was laying in bed, I said three silent prayers to God, and in less than, one at a time, and, you know, the first silent prayer I said to God was, why did you do this to me? And in less than 3 minutes, the door handle jiggled. My three-year-old son came in, and he said, Daddy, you work too hard. And 3 days in a row, he answered three silent prayers in less than 3 minutes. And being the math major, I calculated the probability of this happening. You know, this is how in the whole it was like, oh, you know, this is like some coincidence. You know, and when I realized it was one in a billion, I realized this is no coincidence. This was no accident. There's an explanation for it. God is answering my prayers through my son. How is that happening? And so, you know, you had asked me a couple of minutes ago about my quest. I call it my quest. You know, I ended up quitting my job. I couldn't take it. I couldn't do what I was doing. I had to know who I was and why I was here and how these things happened. And, you know, I'm a very faithful person. Grew up as a Roman Catholic and was the lay minister on the submarine. And but I'm also a man of science. And I saw no inspiration, and I couldn't understand what or how it was, how it got this way. You know, I interviewed Nobel laureates in physics to understand that matter's not solid. You know, my bone is not solid. The chair I'm sitting in is not solid. It's all binding energy. And I love talking about energy and molecules. And it's, you know, there's so much energy in our bodies, like a nuclear bomb. If we were to split the atoms and release the energy from my body, I'd blow up the city of New York. And everything is just pure energy, and matter's not solid. And then I interviewed Francis Collins, who led the Human Genome Program and DNA and all that. You know, I learned that I could reprogram my stem cells and restructure my DNA. And there's thousands and thousands of books and studies, you know, Lynn McTaggart's work and all the work in the field. And, I mean, I'm sure you're well aware of all of these things. And, you know, so what I... You know, the long, after 1,500 interviews and 8 years, now we're up to about 2009 or 10, I just faced the inevitable conclusion that I am pure energy, and everything is pure energy. I am nothing but air, water, and minerals. I find it ironic that people think that, well, the air and water and minerals outside my body's dead, but I'm alive. Well, yeah, where exactly is the separation point? You know, everything's alive. Everything that is energy is life. You know, we inspire, we breathe, is breathing energy. That is life. And so, you know, looping the from where I was as a submariner, Exxon executive, you know, I want to breathe pure air. I want to drink pure water. I want to eat pure foods. I don't want to take medicines and pills, you know. I want to keep my system healthy and purified, and I'm tapped into source. And you get energized, and you get insights, and, you know, amazing stuff starts happening.
Yeah, it's a magnificent blessing and privilege to awake and aware of how magnificent the Creator is and how it's all administered so perfectly. And the dissonance in the world is interestingly opposite to way that I think that the plan for nature has evolved. You know, we have volcanic eruptions every once in a while, and I know that nature goes to some rebirth process in many ways. And I think that the planet right now is at a place where, likewise, we're on a precipice of having a wonderful restoration event. So I want to ask you a little bit about the Knights of Malta that you joined, because I don't know, you may not be aware of this, but several years ago I was put on a Knights of Malta list fraudulently to discredit me in the Patriot movement, in the Christian fundamentalist movements, and that was a kind of like an interesting battle that I had to deal with through a lot of people who were trying to discredit me and my work. And 2007, I had decrypted Leonardo da Vinci's most famous drawing, Vitruvian Man. It's called, Roman Catholic Church had an influence on that, because there's really a woman behind the man who's had the wisdom to step out of the box of earthly limitation that the man is stuck in, and she alone exclusively pierces the square and touches the circle, and her feet are firmly planted on the circle, which according to the art historians is the cosmic connection that we're talking about. And so I decrypted that in 2007, and lo and behold, I was virtually instantaneously attacked. And I had joined the Knights of Hospitaller of Sion of Jerusalem, which was put together by a fellow who I'm not sure where he's at right now, but he didn't do right by me, and he didn't do right by a lot of other people in the organization. There's all this politics and craziness that goes on when you start to get egos involved in directing what is supposed to be a humanitarian organization established to create clinics for the needy. And that's what I joined it, and Gabriel Cousins is a great physician and a naturopathic, also oriented medical doctor. He's heavily involved in the field of nutrition as well as diabetes remediation. And he and I both joined an organization called the Knights of Hospitaller for the purpose of extending Clinics for Humanity project. And well, we got involved in a whole assortment of craziness involved in the government of this organization. Ultimately, there was a split between the groups, as there have been for centuries. And that what ended up happening is that the group that you joined, that basically heralds the Red Cross, and that's what I think how the symbol was discussed. Sherry brought it up, and you mentioned your connection to the Knights of Malta. And that organization, interestingly enough, is currently suing the organization that I'm part of. So it's just, it brings you to the point where the absurdity of humanity and the ignorance and the division, the divisiveness for politics and egocentrism and arrogance and greed is a distant energy. Now, we may hold a different orientation. I know we had a discussion yesterday. It was very, very interesting and wonderful. But the orientation that Sherry and I have in this show deals with largely, I would say about half and half. Half of it, we deal with the dark side. We look at the craziness and the hypocrisy, the insanity and the lunacy of people who claim to be leaders. And I was wondering whether you could share a little bit about what your perspective is now, having gone from the, you know, through the light and having had the death or near-death experience, come back, and what advice would you give to those people who, by their frequency, vibration, their essence, it's like Sherry has wisely said, you know, you can't make a cat a dog. And you can't take a 7-4-1-er, when we've talked about that on this show. What you know, JD, is that the Da Vinci Code, part of the Da Vinci Code, there's 9 projections towards the circle depicted in that most famous Da Vinci drawing that relates to, as you mentioned yesterday in our conversation, ancient mystery school Pythagorean mathematics groups. And that's where we got science from Aristotle, who was well aware of this whole understanding of how musical mathematics creates. And that the note in there, that's the son do re mi fa sol, which is the original musical scale, is associated with 7-4-1. And that's a natural tone. It's actually in the creator's core creative matrix that is composed of 9 core creative frequencies that those 9 projections on the Da Vinci drawing are related to and or seem to be projecting and associated with from the research that I've done and the colleagues that I've worked with. And that 7-4-1 note is called the devil's tone in musicology. And it has an interval between 5/28, which is the love in your heart that I know your work focuses on, very, very beautifully, looking at what is in our hearts, what is in humanity's hearts, what's the potential therein to produce miracles, from miracle healings to transformation on the planet. And yet there is this actual another element. There's another frequency, a mathematical frequency of disharmony, of dissonance. So I wonder if you might share a little bit of your perspective, having met with some of the world's most powerful people and having served presidents, having written treatises on energy and the powerful scientific work that you've done. What advice would you give to general humanity to come to terms with the interplay between light versus darkness?
Well, we're going to take a short break, and actually a two-minute break, and we're going to come back after the break, and then it would be great if you can answer that question for all of us. So stay tuned, everybody.
Sure, yeah, no, it's a great question.
Stay tuned, everybody. You're listening to the Horrocane Hour.
Is there proof of God's existence in our government's records? Author Jose Collazo brings his years of research into this stunning question to light in God Does Exist, No More Nuclear Testing, and More. Touching on little-known government projects such as the Remote Viewers Program and Active Auroral Research Program, Collazo has uncovered some amazing discoveries through his research and use of the Freedom of Information Act. From uncovered information on the Ark of the Covenant to connections between natural disasters and nuclear testing, experience this revealing look into our government's obscure and hidden work. Discover how new and experimental technologies may change our world forever and uncover monumental proof and answers to mankind's greatest questions in God Does Exist, No More Nuclear Testing, and More.
Late Night in the Midlands is an alternative media that covers the truth, theory, and fact that the mainstream media won't talk about. We cover everything from the known and the unknown, the normal and the paranormal, the government lies and the government ties, and even their thrive. We tell what's coming, what's going, whether it be politics or archaeologists. We have an amazing fan base, and our shows are all archived to be heard millions of times more. So tell your friends, your family, and anybody you care about LateNightInTheMidlands.com. Become a member and be informed. Check out Crystals TLC. Hit the Avon link to view a full line of 100% guaranteed Avon products. See and order their specialty scented, long-burning soy candles. And while you're at it, check out their other great products from tie-dye to incense. At some point, your power may go out, and Crystals TLC has you covered there too. I have been in the same house with others when power is out and water is not running, and let me tell you, it not only gets dark at night, but the odors become very present. That's why Crystals TLC's unscented and scented candles are perfect to use now or keep on hand in case of an emergency. Their candles are produced especially from Crystals TLC and come in a wide variety. You can order directly from the website at www.crystalstlc.com and bring peace of mind and beauty into your life. www.crystalstlc.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Horrocane Hour. I'm Sherry Kane.
And I'm Dr. Len Horowitz, and we have a wonderful guest with us, J.D. And Sherry, you were asking J.D. what?
Yes. Oh, actually, it's J.D. Messenger, and I wanted to hear J.D. answer to your question right before the break, which is a great question. So
the interplay between light versus darkness. Go ahead, J.D.
Right. Very, very good question. I'm going to tell you that I believe what I'm going to say is not because I theorize it or I have a hypothesis. I only share the things that I'm about to say because I have experienced these things, and then I triangulate an experience like an out-of-body experience or what someone might call a mystical experience or a premonition. But after I have an experience, like a submarine, I triangulate it, I do the research, and I try to get three independent points of view before I say something. And so I'm going to tell you that I am absolutely certain that I am a soul in a body, and I have lived many lives, and I have had countless past life experiences that would just blow you away. And since I understand, you know, energy and photons and light and physics, and I understand the stuff about the DNA and all that, when I map together the 12-year journey, I come to the inevitable conclusion that I'm a soul in a body, and I've lived many lives. Therefore, I'm here to grow and evolve. That's the nature of evolution. And whether it's industrial evolution, social evolution, or personal evolution, there is no motion without friction. In other words, where your tire hits the road on the car, if there's no friction, like tires spin in the ice, your car is going to go forward. And that is the nature of evolution. There has to be tension in the planes of existence. There to be growth. And energy is a law on energy called entropy. It always seeks its lowest state. If you just gave me plenty of food and water, I would sit on that couch and, you know, become a fat whatever and never move. But I have to move to survive. And so from a sort of very high level, you know, when I'm advising on industrial evolution or nations and things like that, I always talk about tension, that there's always tension. And tension is a good thing because tension is the means by which we grow and evolve. And I apply that to myself at a soul level. And so I say I came into this life, I believe every human in this life has a soul with certain things they needed to learn and grow. People call them karmic debts, lessons, challenges, whatever. And I think that this is very small. It's to learn love, compassion, tolerance, justice, truth, honesty, you know, things like that. And the way we learn is by experiencing the opposite. In other words, you know, God doesn't have pixie dust. When I pray for courage, you know, oh, crap, I got every teacher thrown in my face until I learn to become courageous. Now, taking it closer to your point, I believe that everyone who is we're born with this original download. And this original download, you know, we call it sin, maya, dukkha. You know, there's a program in the supercomputer in our heads, which is processing energy. And every time we have a bad experience, it's stored in every cell, in every memory of our being. And then we have reactions. And I'll give you one short story. My mother, and this is what I call a faulty program, okay? So we are filled with faulty programs and outdated programs. And these faulty, outdated programs turn us into a robot. And we are subconsciously doing and saying things that our soul doesn't accept or doesn't believe. And people that we think that are evil, I don't believe there is a soul that is evil. I think people do things that are not good. And that some of these people are doing things that are not good because they're trying to get more power, more control, you know, more money, more sex, more food, more short-term gratification because they haven't learned their lessons and their souls that are suffering. So a short example, and then I'll stop, of a faulty program, very basic, everyone can understand it. I was on the driveway saying goodbye to my I was going out to the airport at 6 in the morning, and I was getting ready to go into the car taking me to the airport. My wife came out in her pajamas, and I screamed at her, "You're embarrassing me in front of my driver." And when I got into the car, at this point in my life, I've been doing the work, and I knew that that was an irrational, emotional response. And so I meditated, I kind of went into the feeling, into that energy, and boom, I had a flash. I had a vision. And there I was, 12 years old, standing, walking in my front door of my house with two friends in tow from school, and my mother was standing there in her pajamas looking not so good, and I was mortified. And every cell in my being took a snapshot and stored that guilt, that blame, that anger. And when the situation was replicated, the program hit the execute switch. When a woman who represented my mother showed up in pajamas in front of somebody that embarrassed me, I believed it. So this is a false belief. It's a program that drives my behavior, and it was stored in every cell of my being. And I think, you know, we have hundreds and hundreds of them. We have some faulty and outdated programs that are thousands of years old. And so what I believe we're seeing manifested when individuals do the things that neither you nor I like is that, you know, they're stuck in those programs, can't out of those programs. They are not even consciously aware that those programs are dictating their life. And it is the mission of every social, charitable, you know, religious institution, psychologist, and so forth, to help those people, you know, heal themselves and heal those wounds. That's a long answer. Sorry.
Actually, I thought it was quite brave and brilliant for the challenge of the question itself. So, you know, I really appreciated your answer.
I really agree with what you said. I do believe that, you know, and I think we talk about this a lot, Lynn, in regard to people projecting stuff that happened in their past or bringing up the self-living issue.
The question is that I have, and we agree with you completely. The challenge we have is we have, for example, the Rothschild banking cartel and the Rockefeller, Chase Manhattan, J.P. Morgan, Wall Street Group that are conducting genocide under the guises of national security and public health. And there's a lot of people who are suffering, and the economy right now is being directed to where it is. And the question, like you say, is how can we turn lemons into lemonade and see that this is an opportunity based on the friction, and that those people who have done this, who have held the power and through their arrogance and greed have misdirected or engaged in the friction, when we have all of the capabilities to create sustainability in every industry. And the question becomes, what would you recommend for we the people and the listeners of the Hurricane Hour today to do about that situation that has such an impact geopolitically and economically?
I think I actually wrote a blog. I call these things downloads when, you know, I get this burst of energy and I don't know what it is and I just start writing and I look at what I read afterwards and I sometimes go, whoa, am I going to say that? I'll tell you, so I wrote this blog, I think it happened on Friday, and the blog is on my website at jdmessenger.com. I think it's the second one down, and it says, stand up and be counted, America. You need to wake up. You need to stand up and be counted. You are the citizens. You are this country. You need to reclaim your power. You need to believe in yourself and develop confidence and courage. You know, it's in the Declaration of Independence, you know, that people long, you know, suffer and allow themselves to be abused by forces and powers that pretend to be for their own good. Well, I mean, it's quite obvious to me that when 80% of the people want a certain law passed and our elected officials do not do that, that they are not abiding by the laws of the people or the land, and therefore they are disrespecting the rights of the land and the foundation of our country. And the problem we have is that there are not enough Americans who are confident enough and courageous enough and believe in themselves enough, because I've looked at a lot of the research. A lot of them are doped up on something.
Right.
You know, they're taking antidepressants.
Exactly.
I saw statistics from Harvard University that 80% of the students were on antidepressants.
Yes, yeah, horrible.
This is terrible. You can't function.
Yes.
If you're on drugs.
That's exactly right. That's where.
So.
That's exactly right.
Exactly. That's how they tune out. They tune out, drop out, and they don't really think about anything. And it doesn't bother them. And they're just walking around. That's what, basically why the government is giving out, like, is legalizing marijuana. God knows what's in it. You know, what they're legalizing, God knows what's in it. And the fact is, that's what they want. They want you to be dumbed down. That way you don't ask any questions.
And addicted to...
Let me give you this one quick, really short one. Okay, I was talking at a university in Northern California, college students, and this one college student said, stop, just stop. And I said, stop. I said, stop, just stop, stop, stop all this. I said, why? What's the matter? And quote, this person said, "You're making me think, and I don't want to think."
My state of denial is so comforting for me.
Yes, exactly. I mean, we hear that all the time from people. Exactly that. It's like, what are you?
Yeah, there's cipher in the matrix.
Yeah, and actually, that was a concern that I have. I'm so thankful for you for opening up that other aspect that you're grasping, because my concern is that the New Age movement has largely been conned. You know, I'm sorry.
There's like a new.
Are you having an earthquake? Said, are you having an earthquake out there?
There was a big moving truck that pulled up in front of us. Right, we asked the question.
Yeah, did it
have cover plates on it?
It's a moving storage company. Just pulled up. You know, we typically do this in a quiet place, but we had no choice but to take this out on a little cafe on the street. But how wonderful new technology allows us to do that. But the con that I'm concerned about is the con that so many New Age folks, and I can tell you that I went through that passage myself at one point, where, you know, I believe that there's a lot of truth to the you know, think, grow rich type of orientation. I think that there's
the Napoleon Hill that
is so powerful. What you think, you know, it's kind of like put seeds out there for attracting into your life. And like you said, those skeletons in the closet, the way in which we've been traumatized, and those memories are impacted into every cell of our body, and ultimately we play in an effort in classical Freudian and Gestalt therapeutic sense we attract to us what we need in order to heal and get beyond the insanity. If we're smart, if we're educated, if we're wise, and we have had a little bit of social support to educate us to take a bigger picture, a bigger, greater view of these patterns in our lives that keep us stuck and the world divided and at war. So the matter of looking at it all, and I've often said on this show and others, that if you're into the New Age con, that all you have to do is, you know, think positively and everything will be fine. Well, gee whiz, put yourself in my position. I receive two or three emails a month from New Age parents that took their children to get vaccinated, and now they're dealing with autistic spectrum disorder and a devastating issue in their families and financial devastation, on top of total heartbreak, because they simply didn't have the wherewithal, because they were involved in the belief system that is partly a con.
Like, I don't want to look at any of the dark side. I don't want to look at what's really going on the planet. I'm just going to check out, because you know what? It's like, I'm a real advocate for children, and I expose people that engage in harming children where nobody will go. I'll go there. And there's a few people on my Facebook that actually have tried, I don't know how they've actually covertly entered my friendship circle, but they're on there and they'll make comments about it. Like, I'll make a comment about somebody who's harmed a children and harmed a child, and I'll make a comment and then they'll say, well, you know, you shouldn't think like that because you think what you are. You know, and I mean, it was just like, well, what do you mean? I'm bringing this to light. This is an issue. It may not be something that you want to talk about, but it's something that is important to me. Because
And it actually followed a request for prayer. And while I was stuck in traffic getting to this show, there was a fascinating radio program I was listening to. There is a major issue right now politically with the issue of gays in the military, that there is a effort right now at the Pentagon to completely take prayer out of chapels throughout the military.
But that has nothing to do with gay people in the military.
No, I mean, we have friends. We actually love many of our gay friends. We've got a lot of gay friends.
And I'm not against gay marriage at all. I'm sorry.
So it's not about, holding a position about it, somebody who is homosexual and chooses to be that way. It's a matter of what you're talking about, JD. We come from a place, a country that's based on the belief in a greater power source, and connecting the technology, the divine technology, to access that is in meditation and prayer. And right now, they're literally at the Pentagon, and this is a big thing right now happening in the Christian movements, not just fundamentalists, but all across the Christian world, is they're realizing the outrageous violation of human rights, because we as human beings are of the divine seed, we're of the divine family, and to take away and censor and suppress our capacity to use the two greatest gifts that we have, faithful prayer and the discernment that is accessed, like much like you have been experiencing through a telepathic or a intuitive and or divine angelic connection, that likewise with me, I wouldn't be anywhere if it wasn't for that.
But even the gay people are being demonized by them saying, well, they're putting it in the same, gay marriage is like taking prayer out of the schools or out of the churches or whatever. I mean, it's they're putting it in the same sentence. They're demonizing gay people that way
too.
Yes,
and it's not that's right. It's not necessarily a gay issue. It's a divide and conquer ploy. It's the politics of the media and the way that the matter is being framed and then couched in terms of the publications and the broadcasting of the questions that frame the matter. And so this is, again, vitally important times for somebody like yourself, JD, who has a bigger picture discernment, both of the theological, philosophical, coming from your Catholic background. Again, we have many Catholic friends we love dearly. In fact, I wouldn't be doing the work in 528 right now if it wasn't for the great Catholic, Dr. Joseph Paleo. And so the question becomes, how can we, the people, re-grasp this opportunity and move forward?
Well, these are all really points, and I heard about three or four. Let me comment on two or three if I can remember them all. Number one, since I really believe I'm a soul and a body, and I have lived past lives, and I have experienced lives as a woman and a man, my theory is that, now this is of course a theory, I can't triangulate this one, okay, but that we have all been the other sex, and that a person who has inclinations, who's a male who is inclined to other males or a female inclined to other females, that what's happening is they're in the opposite shell this time around, and so they're still exhibiting the tendencies from their immediate past experience. And guess what? We all do that. And so this is my, we're all a soul, and that's a soul theory. And then another theory I have, which actually this one I've done a pretty good job developing research and have probably over 5,000 case studies. And the way I say it in 11 days in May is that your pain is your purpose. Now, I don't literally mean physical pain. I'm talking about emotional suffering, that the lesson we're supposed to learn, it goes back to that energy point. That there's no motion without friction, that we came in here to learn a lesson, and so let's say that lesson is to learn tolerance of sexual orientation. It's not quite that finite, but I'm making it finite. Therefore, we choose to experience the abuse and the intolerance until we gain and respect it. So a great example to me, a few that I had, was one, the lessons, let me say it this way. here's a few examples of how I discovered your suffering or your pain is your purpose. The molested young girl, sexually abused by her father, heals herself and becomes a sexual therapist. The man who, as a child, was homeless becomes a builder. Then we have examples of people who don't get it. The fundamental Christian pastor who is railing against gays, who was one, you know, he hasn't learned his lesson yet, you see. Or the governor who was prosecuting pornography but using them, you see. So we want an individual. What's that?
We live in hypocrisy.
What?
That's what Jesus was saying.
We live in hypocrisy from the point of view of the world of form, but from the point of view of the world of light, these are lessons we're trying to learn. Now, so that's the micro personal level. At a macro level, I couldn't help but think several times when you were talking that I was reminded of the Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna, God, talking to Aruna. And Aruna is standing in the middle of the battlefield. And, you know, for those who may be hearing this and don't know, I mean, Bhagavad Gita is the Hindu version of Bible, so to speak, for Christians. And so Aruna is standing between two sides of his family who are going to war. And he's on one side, but he sees the ones he's supposed to attack and kill are his own family. And uncles or cousins or whatever, and he's standing in the middle of the battlefield, and he doesn't want to fight. And he's torn in half between his love and this battle. And Krishna, what is Krishna saying to him? He's saying death is an illusion. You need to love everybody, but if you don't go to war and fight for justice, you know, you're nothing. You're worthless. You must stand up and fight. You know, now this is the age-old dilemma. I mean, Gandhi had great difficulty. Gandhi loved, you know, the Bhagavad Gita, but Gandhi had great difficulty because he promoted peace, right? And this is the, I mean, to me, this is the essence of one of the biggest questions raised in this discussion.
Yeah.
Is how do you balance this? And I mean, you know, I can't do any better than the Bhagavad Gita, and I'm not going to try to interpret that, but this is the major issue. I do believe that we all individually need to work on ourselves. However, I also believe that the rights of society are far greater than the rights of any individual. And when individuals start abusing the rights and liberties of the greater society, then it is the responsibility and the rights of the individual. I think I'm quoting the Declaration of Independence again.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Love what you had to say. Thank you so much. We're at the end of the hour.
Yeah.
We'll have to have you back on. It was a delightful, very, very fascinating hour.
Because I want to elaborate on what you last said about the whole war with Gandhi. And I think I understand about elephants under the carpet. That's what comes to my mind. You've got to sort out things before you can communicate. And that's where the problem is with people, is we don't communicate. And we can't get past that. So we have elephants under the carpet. And that was the message
right.
I got from what you said. Anyway.
Right. Can I say one thing? Basically, what I'm talking... 10 seconds. We're doing a major Ascension event in Miami at the AscensionNetwork.com. And this is what the whole purpose of it about, Ascension Network. And so we're trying to promote people to ascend, to unite and ascend.
And
that's very important.
Where can people get your book? Because I don't want to disconnect and then not – what's the website?
Just go to jdmessenger.com or amazon.com or Barnes & Noble, 11 days in May.
And to go to
ascensionnetwork.com.
Yes, ascensionnetwork.com for the events that are coming up.
Actually, it's ascensionnetwork.wordpress.com.
Ascensionnetwork.wordpress.com. Thank you for sharing that. Definitely.
Right.
I know we want to be part of that event. It's Sabina and Mike.
Yeah, I hope to see you there. That would be awesome.
Wonderful.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, great show.
It was great.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. Bye-bye.
Technical difficulties.
And
again.
The sound effects.
No worries. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you for thank you so much for tuning into the Harocane Hour. I'm Sherry Kane. And
Dr. Lynn Horowitz, thanks. Talk to you again tomorrow. Bye for now.